100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
There you go. All right. So it's Vic's Picks right here for this week. How you doing, Vic?
Good, sir. Good, sir.
Okay, man. Where do you want to start?
All right, let's start with number five on this list, Rubber Soul by the Beatles. This is their sixth studio album, recorded at EMI Studios on Abbey Road in London. Was, of course, renamed Abbey Road Studios 5 years after the release of this great album, Rubber Soul. The Beatles were in the studio recording this for 1 month, I should say, October to November, 1965. So they did it in 1 month, although some of the stuff started in earlier sessions, and then released later that same year in December under Parlophone Records in the UK and Capitol Records in the US. Rubber Soul, considered to be among the Beatles' greatest work, widely regarded as a masterpiece. I know you like it, Nick. Correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's my two favorite Beatles albums are Rubber Soul and Revolver.
And Revolver, which is coming up.
Yeah,
Revolver's coming up. I can't wait to listen to it. I haven't heard it. But if you're going to put Rubber Soul into one of the two or three eras the Beatles fans and critics put their albums in, it would, from what I read, be either in the early or middle eras, this album.
Mm-hmm.
Right around time when the Beatles, from what I've read, were arguably creating some of their the best work that they've done, some of their best work in this era. And from the leadoff track, Tom's got a little from here's Drive My Car.
And I can show you a better time. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
That's a Paul McCartney song, and yeah, I was reading about how tight the band sounded in this song, Drive My Car, and that's just the quality of the songs. That's the leadoff track, and from what I was reading, that, you know, about just how tight they sound in that song, and that it just never really drops off. The quality of the songs never just really, you know, because some albums you'll have some great songs, and then, you know, some not so great. Not the case in this one. It's just, they're all great, and I think, and a lot of people thought so, and it just never really drops off on Rubber Soul from Drive My Car, and it actually, the innovation from the band just kind of only picks up from that lead-off track. Perfect example of that innovation found in the next track. I think you and I, Nick, were listening to this in the newsroom earlier tonight.
We were.
Yeah, so track two, George Harrison plays sitar, a string instrument popular in India, and from what I read, the first time it was used on an American rock song in this song. So here is Norwegian Wood.
I wanted a girl, or should I say,
yeah, that's Norwegian Wood. It's a John Lennon song. And I read that it was inspired by the song. This is really, I found this fascinating when I was going through reading about Rubber Soul. That song was, I found out, inspired by kind of the songwriting style of Bob Dylan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles were inspired by Bob Dylan at the time. But it, it was interesting because then I kind of went down a rabbit hole and I read a lot about how at this time, there was a lot of inspiration going on between the Beatles, Bob Dylan, and the Beach Boys. And so I read a lot about that. That's really fascinating to me on this album. But yeah, because they all, I mean, look at it. We got Rubber Soul this week. I won't name exact albums, but we've got Beach Boys and Bob Dylan coming up too. And
and
they all came around right around 65. So
yeah,
interesting. But
This was actually Norwegian Wood. That was one of your dad's favorite songs of all time, right?
Yeah, when he was first introducing me to the Beatles, Norwegian Wood was one that he would talk about a lot, and he did not sing at all. He was not a singer. None of us are really singers, but he used to sing me Norwegian Wood when I would go to bed.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was always a really special song, and yeah. It's still to this day, it makes me think of him.
It's a great song.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Really, really great.
Definitely.
But again, you know, as you were saying, Vic, there's nothing but great songs on this album.
There's not. And that's not really our opinion only. That's widely considered to be the case on this album.
Yeah.
And that song also that I wrote this down, I read that it was accredited with having an influence on the early development of psychedelic rock, that song. But we'll skip to track 5 for this next one. We've got a little bit of time left, so we'll skip to track 5, still on side 1 of Rubber Soul, song by George Harrison. Listen, if you haven't heard this song yet, listen for the distorted bass, or they call it the fuzz bass. I really like that. It's played by Paul McCartney in this song, which I did read that he does play the bass on some songs.
All the songs.
Is he the bass?
Yeah.
That's right. I got that switched around. Mm-hmm. He is the bass. And I really like the way he does it on this one, this fuzz bass song called Think for Yourself, again, written by George Harrison.
Vic, is a distinct influence from the Beach Boys.
I can hear it now that you mentioned that.
Yeah,
I can hear that. I can get that. I haven't listened to a Beach Boys song in forever, but
well, you're going to.
Yeah, and it's coming up,
and it's coming up. And the one that's coming up is one of the greatest albums ever recorded.
You know how hard it was not to go skip forward and listen to that album when I was on 99.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I just don't shut up about it. Like I just, you know, like I'd come in the newsroom and I'd talk to you, and then I would mention that album. We'll save it for next time, but with the title of the album. But it's one of the greatest albums of all time, and it's one of my favorite records ever.
Yeah,
I can't wait till you hear the whole thing.
I'm so obsessed with hearing that album. Yeah. I told you I was at the movie theater a couple weeks ago, and I saw like a teenaged boy with his father, and his son had one of those t-shirts on, and I was staring at it, and his dad looked at me from across the room looking at his son, and then he saw that I had a Pink Floyd t-shirt on. I think he figured it out.
It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
But that song, Harrison by this time had really established himself already as a notable songwriter. You know, that kind of complemented the songwriting partnership that Paul McCartney and John Lennon had going on. But
he
wrote another one on this album that I loved called If I Needed Someone, track 6, side 2. It's impossible to cover this album with just 4 clips, but I have to stop. So I'll end it with Lennon's In My Life.
Not for better, some have gone and some remain.
I didn't want to,
such a good song.
I know, man. Yeah. But there's so many other ones on there, too. Yeah. Michelle, McCartney's Michelle. Nowhere Man by John Lennon was great. Girl, also by Lennon. You Won't See Me.
Yeah.
I'm Looking Through You. I loved all of those as well. But In My Life, I read that was considered one of the greatest Beatles songs ever recorded. So I didn't want to leave that off.
Yeah.
Check out Johnny Cash's version of it. He does a really good version on his American recordings.
Yeah.
When was that put out? Because I think I was that
90s.
Oh no, then I haven't heard it then.
But it definitely started. I think the first one came out in the late 90s, and then it went into the 2000s.
Yeah. Oh, I'll definitely check that.
Slightly past
late in his, it was late in his career.
Yeah,
and,
super late.
And he was
him and Rick Rubin.
Yeah, Rick Rubin, who is a producer of note, mostly in the world of hip hop. But he produced those records that Johnny Cash made in his late in his career, and they're considered some of the best stuff that Johnny Cash has ever done in his entire career.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would definitely check that out.
Yeah. So,
speaking of producers, George Martin is the producer. Do you guys call him one of the fifth Beatles, I guess, him and the manager, Brian Epstein? Because I'm confused. I've been reading about it. There's some different opinions.
The fifth Beatle, normally, they go with Billy Preston as the fifth Beatle. You know, he worked with them a lot. He was a musician. He played piano with them a lot, and he worked on a lot of the records, in the sessions and played with them and stuff. But I mean, George Martin was he was the visionary. I mean, there was very few producers in the world of music who are better than George Martin.
Wow.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask that real quickly.
All right. Vic, hang on for a second. We got another album to talk about on Vic's Picks as he makes his way through the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. So we're going to break. When we come back, I'll give you the weather then. Here we go. And we'll be right back.
There are places I'll remember all my life. Though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone, and some remain. All these places.
So, Vic, that's...
Oh, that's awesome.
That's Johnny Cash's version of My Life. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All righty, then. Hey, we got the weather for you here for today. Waves of showers and thunderstorms, some potentially severe, along with flood-producing downpours spread over the area from west to east overnight. Cloudy, breezy, and mild in the morning. Scattered showers possible, becoming more widespread in the afternoon and into the overnight hours. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, cooler, some sunshine, few spotty showers, highs in the mid-60s. Scattered overnight showers and thunderstorms. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, warmer, more humid. Thunderstorms may develop in the afternoon, becoming more numerous overnight. Highs in the mid to upper 70s, cooler at the lakefront. For Monday, considerable sunshine, breezy, warm, humid, high well above normal at 80 to 85. Oh, come on. Partly cloudy and muggy overnight. For Tuesday, partly cloudy, continued warm and humid, scattered thunderstorms and showers possible mainly north. Highs in the upper 70s, showers and thunderstorms likely overnight. So 61 degrees at O'Hare, 61 at Midway, and 63 at the lakefront right now here on WGN. All right, Vic, let's get back to your Vic's Picks.
All right, number four on the list, Highway 61 Revisited by Bob Dylan. It's his sixth studio album, and this is considered his masterpiece and one of the greatest American rock albums of all time, from what I've read. And it happened as he was still a very young man. Bob Dylan was about to turn 25.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that was really, that floored me. And I just stumbled across that. I just put two and two together when I was doing this and realized when I read that this was his masterpiece, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
He's 24 when this came out.
I was bartending and sticking my finger up my nose.
Right, exactly.
That's making me really reevaluate.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, crap.
That's exactly what I thought.
I'm producing this idiot's radio show in the middle of the night.
Hey, man.
Bob Dylan's writing Highway 61 Revisited at 25, and I'm producing some idiot's overnight show.
Yeah. Well, at least we didn't peak at 25.
Hey, this idiot's great overnight radio show.
Well, all right.
Yeah, definitely a great show. So from what I've learned so far is that he really changed things up in his career with this album. His previous five albums were acoustic, if not 100%, pretty close to it. And he was tagged as a folk singer-songwriter. He got caught up in a protest movement. And it sounds like, from what I've read so far, it sounds like that he was kind of pissed off about all of it.
Being tagged.
Well, yep. And he was angry anyway when he wrote his music. But basically decided to show a lot of people with Highway 61 Revisited that he was other things too. He plugged instruments into electricity on every one of the album's tracks except the closing track. Side 2, track 4, Desolation Row, is acoustic and it's 11 minutes long. Tom's got a little bit of it.
They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlor is filled with sailors. The circus is in town.
And I haven't listened to this record in a long time. Oh, man. I got to listen to this record again.
you do. It's a great record.
Oh, man. I forgot. You know what? I have not listened to this record in a really long time. What an idiot I am. I need to bust this thing out. It's so good.
It is awesome, man. This album is awesome. And that song's one of the only ones that sounds like Bob Dylan, the Bob Dylan that I grew. All the Bob Dylan that I've listened to, because I did.
Yeah.
He's one of the artists that I have listened to. There's about two or three albums of his that I know pretty well, but I never heard this one before. And so anyway, that one sounds similar to his earlier stuff, Desolation Row, but not exactly. I mean, it's still quite a bit different if you look into it. You read the lyrics.
You know, I don't know when you were reading about this, but it was a big deal when he went electric. Like people went nuts, like not in a good way.
I read that.
Nuts. And when I mean, that's like it's actually if they, you know, here's another. You know, there's lists everywhere, you know, as you know, Vic.
Yeah.
One of the lists of key moments in rock and roll history, like they have lists of the key moments in rock and roll history, way up near the top of that list, Dylan goes electric.
Was it a Newport like folk festival or something?
Yep.
He
comes out, plays an electric guitar. Everybody lost their mind.
Yeah.
Everybody went nuts.
No, I read a couple things on that concert, and there were some. Also, it seems like most of the articles at the end of the article they'll put in there, it's not clear whether they were booing over the volume because it was, I guess there was an issue with the volume, or because he was electric. We'll never know, I guess.
I guess not. So,
but yeah, this was definitely the album's paramount to the story of the evolution of Bob Dylan's music. And I got the impression from the quick reading that I did this week that an important part of that transition to electric had to do with a guy named Michael Bloomfield. And I'm glad I started reading about him because he was the guitarist for a band called the Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
Yep.
And they played out in Chicago a lot.
Yep.
They played Chicago blues, and Dylan got Bloomfield to play a little bit differently because he played a certain way. Bloomfield did, and I read what Bloomfield had to say about it, and he said Dylan got him to kind of change it up a little bit. Dylan told him, "I don't want that B.B. King style. I want a little country twang to it, a little rockabilly sound." And so Bloomfield did it. So that was an important part. But anyway, Bob Johnson produced this album and helped find the sound too. So his new band, they go in and started recording in June of 1965 at Columbia Studio in New York, and it was released 3 months later under Columbia's label. And this next one's from the lead-off track on Highway 61, Revisited, Dylan's poetry mixed in with that electric guitar. This after he just finished an 8-show all-acoustic tour through Europe, comes back to New York, and recorded Like a Rolling Stone.
How does it feel?
Yeah, so that song was a big hit, top 10 hit in several countries. But this is a cool note here. You know, we're covering on this segment, Vic's Picks, Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Albums of All Time, right? So I remind us of that because this album that we're covering tonight, number 4 on that curated list, well, this song, Like a Rolling Stone, is number 1 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs of All Time.
Yeah, so it's widely considered one of the greatest songs ever written,
and
justifiably so.
I think there's a little bias there.
Because it's the name of the magazine?
Yeah, man.
Right.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Well, there's bias everywhere, so I'm sure there is some bias on it. All these curated lists are going to have a little bias built into them, sure. That's why it's so fun to go through them.
That's why it's so much fun to talk about lists and stuff on the show, because they open up conversations. Everybody has an opinion, and that's one of the reasons why we do that pretty frequently on the show, is talk about some lists, get the conversation going, get the people, get everybody active.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
It is a lot of fun, and it's fun, and it exposes you to a lot more music than too.
Yeah.
But this next one, Ballad of a Thin Man, they knocked it out in the recording studio very quickly, from what I read, quicker than any other song on this album, and they did it in a 2 a.m. session. But here's some from Ballad of a Thin Man.
You should be made to wear earphones, 'cause something is happening and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones?
Yeah. That was my favorite song on this album.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's interesting.
Loved Ballad of a Thin Man. But yeah, you got to listen to the, go back and listen to that whole album, Nick. It's awesome.
I know. It's just that, you know, when I heard it, and when I heard, I was like, oh man, I just haven't listened to the record in a long time.
Yeah.
It's such a good one. I'm glad you liked it.
Loved it. Thanks.
Okay. We're getting near the top of the list. This is getting crazy. And, but you know, we were talking off the air, Vic, that you're going to continue listening to different kinds of music. We'll continue with Vic Picks, even after you get through this list, okay?
Sounds good. And okay. I appreciate that, Nick.
Oh, thanks. Absolutely.